When I was a little kid, I remember being in the back seat of our family car, and my brother and my sister and my other brother, we were acting really bad. And we were not listening to my dad, and he said, "That's it, when we get home, everybody gets spanked." And we were all like, "Oh no." And then my sister started singing that song, "Are You Ready?" I'll never forget that. But anyways, for just a few moments this morning, I'm going to do my best to remember that less is more. In Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple verses here, and I'm going to discuss a topic that that means something to me. Starting in verse 21 through 26, actually it goes up to start in verse 19. "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." And I guess the start off here with what I might say this morning is just he talks about the idea of death as a gain, Paul does. And I think it's kind of an interesting concept. We never seem to think about death as being something that would be considered a gain. Oftentimes we just consider death something as a terrible thing, as a tragic thing, as a great loss. And basically we spend a lot of time and effort trying not to die. I mean, look what we got going on right now. I mean, who was it that came up here a few weeks ago and said we look like a bunch of dressed up ninjas? I thought that was funny, because we have all got these masks on and we're, I guess, trying to stay alive. But anyways, for that reason, many of us are trying to not die. But yet death, as Paul said, is a gain. And I think it's even kind of important to remember that sometimes we don't even like to talk about death. It's something that it's uncomfortable to speak about. I like to say this phrase, and I remind myself often. I'll say, "No one's getting off this earth alive." And I say that to myself every day. I'm not getting off this earth alive, and nor is anybody else. My sister sent me a text the other day. She's really worried about my dad. You know, my dad is very fragile. And I finally said, "Well, Jill, you know, he wasn't meant to live here forever. None of us. You know, at some point, even though none of y'all think it, it's easy. You know, we always think it's somebody else. But the day is going to come where we're going to also succumb. And we just don't think it's going to happen, you know. And I got to remind myself, one day, Eric Swisher is going to die. And we say it as if it won't be us. We often say it as it's going to be somebody else. And then you have somebody that passes away, maybe, that you're very close to, and it reminds you about the brevity of life. You know, like I had a good friend of mine this year. His name was Michael Brockman. Back in March 19th. He just fell over dead. He was a veterinarian, and he works all day, and he comes home and eats dinner with his family, and he walks down the hall, and he collapses in his room, and he's gone. 54 years old. And you've got your own scenario. You've got your own story. You've got your own thoughts about that. But we just got to remember that, you know, death is something that is going to occur to all of us, and we just don't need to be ever fooled into the thinking that it's going to be somebody else. One day it's going to be us. You know, in my business, and y'all know that I do auctions, you know, and how many times, every day I get a phone call. "Hey, Eric, I'm such and such. My father, my mother, and my brother has passed away, and he's got all this stuff. Can you get rid of it for me?" I mean, I had that call every day. Every day. It's something that is the thought of dying and leaving everything that you have and even a burden on your family, it's not lost on me. It's something that is quite very often I think about it. I had a phone call about a month ago where a widow of a person that I knew very well, she called me up and she said, "Hey, can you come get David's tractor?" He had passed away 2 years ago. Can you sell it for me? Can you put it in the auction? I said, yeah. So I went and got the tractor, and I thought, well, I'm going to bring it back to my house and put it in my barn because I didn't want it to get stolen. And so when I got home, I thought, well, I'm going to drive it around a little bit, you know, see if I like it. You know, who knows? Maybe I'd want the tractor. And then I thought, so I was driving around, and then I just had this thought. I said, here I am, a dying man driving a dead man's tractor. And it was just something, it was just a very, very good thought for me to take that into consideration. That this, you know, I had pictures and I had seen this man drive this tractor in his yard. And he loved it. It was something of great value to him and great importance. And I think all of us guys love our tractors. I mean, it's just something about our tractors. It's something that's interesting. That's a lot. You know, and there's another thing I want to bring out from reading this verse here. Most of what we'll discuss will be in these verses here in Philippians. But a Christian cannot live his life in such a way without the proper perspective on death. And I think we understand that all of us should have or do have a good perspective upon what death means to us and what it should mean to us. But yet, not to think about the way the world thinks about death. The world thinks about death as they don't understand the Bible. The Bible is just something that is, in many respects, something that's just abstract, and you can make it mean whatever you want it to mean. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die was gain. And in a sense that life was, the life that Paul led was a life that was devoted to Jesus Christ, his death would be a gain. You know, but yet, you know, and I want to make sure that I mention that over and over this morning, that to die is gain, to die is gain. That's the thrust of what I want you to understand. The death of a Christian is a gain, is a gain. If you look at, let's look at a couple things about the idea of dying is a gain. And what, first of all, I want to talk about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you basically hate your life. You know, it doesn't mean that. If you read Philippians 1 and verse 18, it says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. You know, Paul was filled with joy. He was somebody that didn't hate his life. He loved his life. I think he loved his brethren. I think he loved what he did. I think he loved his God. I think he had great care and concern for the churches and for those that he had converted and so on and so on. And, you know, sometimes we think that you know, maybe you know somebody that suffered. I mean, Paul suffered greatly, but he never wanted to die necessarily. I think he knew that his death was going to be a gain, but he wasn't one that sought to have his life took, if I might say it that way. You know, I can think of one time in my life, a couple years ago, I got so sick. it was a bad couple of days. I thought, I even had a moment that said, God, just take me, because I can't do another day of this. I remember thinking that. I almost felt that's why somebody just says, I want to die. You know, and of course, I don't think the Bible would, you know, the Bible doesn't teach anything like that. But yet Christians succumb to that often. They think that they should take their life. I remember as a young man, I was at Birchwood. There was a family friend down in Bowling Green, and he had cancer. And I knew his daughters really well. And one day I was told that he took his life. And he was a Christian. And I mean, I was a little kid. And I never will forget that. And I thought, a Christian? He was a Christian. Christians don't do that. But yet they do. Sometimes they do. But it doesn't mean that you should ever hate your life. Even though there are strong men in the Bible that suffered so much that they wanted to die. If you look at the examples of Moses, who the Bible says Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. So if that translates to me, he was basically the strongest man that ever lived. Moses. He said, please kill me here now. He said that to God. If you look at Elijah, I mean, Elijah is another great story. He prayed that he might die in 1 Kings 19 and verse 14. He said, is it enough, Lord? Please take me. Even Elijah had the thought. And Jonah said, take my life. It's better to die than to live. You know, but here's the point. We all hit these low points in our life, but God never means that your life is not valuable or that in any form or fashion that you should take it. And I don't think that's necessarily a topic that we have to preach here, but suicide is never the will of God. It's that kind of death would never exalt Jesus Christ. It would never be a goal in Paul's life for sure. And here's the point. Does the life that you live, does it exalt Jesus Christ? Does it exalt the name of Christ? Does it further the cause of the gospel? You know, does our life help other people to know the truth? You know, and only you can answer that question. But I ask this question today. This is the new first day of the week. Last week, did you talk to anybody about the gospel? Did you have any conversation with anybody? Did you try to teach anybody the truth? You know, God wants us to be happy. I think He wants us to have a full life. I don't think God wants us to be sad or nothing like that. Paul had joy, as I just read moments ago. God wants us to be joyful. And we might think to ourselves, what does joy mean? And I think we all do know what joy means. Joy means being content or happy in whatever condition you find yourself in, because not of your present circumstances, but because of your relationship with your Creator. That's what true joy is. It's not being happy because you've got a good life. It's being happy because you're saved through Jesus Christ. You know, and I can't forget about the example of Paul and Silas in jail, down in the dungeon, and they were thrown in a dungeon. And I remember teaching a class in high school somewhere, I mean here in this class, and not anywhere else, but here in, not a teacher, in the high school class, and we were talking about that one time, and how Paul and Silas were down in the stocks, it says. And I remember we discussed that what a dungeon would have been like back then would have been so much different than a dungeon that we probably think of today. And I think they were probably just locked in there and sitting in just extreme bad situation. Perhaps even in their own fecal or somebody else's fecal. I mean, just imagine the filth that they would have said. And then what do you find Paul and Silas doing? You remember, they were singing. They were singing because they had great joy. Not because of where they were, because of what they had. Because of what they had. And God wants us to be happy. But I think it's important that Paul, and this is what Paul taught, that even if Paul died, he knew that his life was something that could be expendable. It's something that he knew his life could be taken, or that his life might be cut short. And then that was going to be okay. And maybe we need to think like that more so. What does your death, let me ask this, does your death even mean that to you? You know, is your death, is it going to be a gain for you? You know, so, you know, to die is gain. To die is gain. Does that mean that we can't cry when we lose a loved one? You know, that we can't grieve? You know, I am thankful, so thankful. I have lost my grandparents. And the day's coming, and I don't want to, you know, I'm going to have loss, but I haven't had a lot of close people die in my family. I lost my dog, Boone, y'all remember him, in 2013. And I mean, I can cry to this moment thinking about his death. I still cry about that dog. I loved him, and I don't want any other dog since then. I had one dog, and that was him. But you know what? I grieve over that dog. I have imagined, you know, what it's like to, you know, I'm thankful that I've lost animals. I've lost two camels this year. I've had a bad year when it comes to things, and I have grieved, and it's been said. I am thankful to God I haven't lost anybody in my family. But, I mean, the Bible talks about grieving for those that you've lost, and is that appropriate? Yeah. But even though to die is gain, it's still appropriate to grieve a loss. And the Bible talks about there's no condemnation in grieving for a loved one. If you look in Romans 12, it talks about weeping with those that weep, and so on and so on. That would be appropriate. That would be appropriate behavior. And in John 11, verse 35, one, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. If you go back and look at that story, and we won't take the time to read it, but that's one of the best stories in the world. I mean, it probably is. In the world or in the Bible, think about the example of Lazarus and his family, and they're all friends with Jesus, and they're all together. And then Lazarus is gone, and then Jesus walks up on the scene, and they said, "Hey, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died." And that yet Jesus knew the whole story and knew everything about what he could have did and what he was going to do. Yet he looked at those that were his family, and what did he do? He wept. He wept. He had compassion. It shows Christ's humanity. It shows that he was compassionate. He cried even though he knew that he was going to raise him back from the dead. I love that story about Jesus. I think that's one of the best stories. He could have fixed it all, but yet he cried. And he did fix it. You know, to die is gain. But for some, we have to remember to be sad. It's still appropriate. It's still appropriate. But we don't grieve the way that the world grieves, correct? We grieve because we'll miss that person, but we also know that they really are in a better place. Yet that's just used all the time. Oh, he's in a better place. Remember David Lanius, one of the first funerals I ever went to. I won't bring that up, but I remember him doing a funeral. And he said about the person, and y'all know who she is. He said, I wouldn't want her back. And I thought, that was the most profound thing I had heard in a long time. I hadn't heard anybody say that before. I wouldn't want her back. You know? And you know, that's the way we should be. If somebody's a Christian and they die, we shouldn't grieve to the point that we'd want them back. We don't want them back. We want them to stay where they are because that is the more appropriate thing. You know, there's examples in the Bible where there were actually people that were forbidden to grieve a death. I don't know if y'all remember that. I remember, of course, we know about Aaron and his sons, because if he'd grieved for them, it would have shown, you know, a bad look to the nation of Israel there about what they did. And then you have the example of Ezekiel's wife, where he was told that he could not grieve, which I think is interesting. But that's not normal. The Bible would have us to grieve. To die is gain. And it means that a Christian should view death as a means of exalting Christ. If you look at Philippians 1 and verse 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ, notice, will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. How many of us think like that? How many of us think for even a moment that our life is something that we should be doing or living in such a way that Christ is magnified in every aspect of it? I mean, I think we do to some extent, but how much do we realize that the gospel just permeates who we are and that everything about us, that God is going to be shown and the gospel is going to be shown and the example of Jesus and all these things are going to be, the people are going to see that. And that's what's very important. I've said this before. You know, y'all have heard the story of the Fox's Books of Martyrs. There's a big, thick book about the martyrs of early church that were murdered. And I remember, I guess I was a teenager. I got to reading that book, and it really changed me. I don't think it messed me up. But there's a lot of stuff in that book that will just, it'll make you cry. It'll make you sad. There was one story I'll never forget. He was being burned at the stake because he was a preacher. And they were going to kill him. And they knew that from the jail to the stake that he was going to preach Jesus all the way to that stake. And you know, and they said they didn't want that. You know what they did to him? It's in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. They clamped his tongue down and they put a branding iron on the end of his tongue and burnt it so that it swelled up. So that he couldn't preach from there to there before they put him to death. And then I think to myself, how many of us don't even say a word? Don't even say a word to anybody. You know, Paul counted everything for loss. Everything. He saw his relationship with Jesus Christ, and I use the word kind of a weird way, but as an investment. Let's just use it like that. It was something that he knew that if he put into it, there would be a return. That's the way Paul thought. And I think we understand that. I think that's why many of us are here. I mean, this is trying times. I hate the times that we're in. I hate it. I hate these masks. I hate all the separate. I mean, I want us to go back the way it was. No matter what. That's the way I feel. Because I don't. Oh, that's another subject. But this life is trying, and we're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of it. You know, Paul understood that. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 7. It said, but what things were gained to me, these things I kind of lost for Christ. Everything was counted lost for the sake of Jesus Christ. It didn't mean anything to him. If you look at, it's kind of like the idea, you reap what you sow. When you die, you get a reward. Look at Matthew 25, and we've read this verse many times before, but I'll read it again. In Matthew 25, the example where, perhaps a person passes away, and they talk about what Jesus would say at their death. He said, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Oftentimes that's said or preached as this is what's going to be said to us, that when our life is over and so on. And yes, I pray that that is the case for each one of us. To die is to gain. And that's why Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul understood that the labor that you do now is not something that's in vain or empty or wasted. It was something that you're going to get back. That your death, when you die, as horrible as that is to maybe somebody that loves you when you're gone, is going to be a gain. It's going to be a gain. It's going to be a good thing. You know, if you live your life toiling for the things of the earth, you know, what's the average life expectancy in this country? I mean, I always think it's 72. It's probably like 81 now. You know, so if you live 81 years on this world and you're not a Christian, you know what? I don't want to say it, it sounds kind of harsh, but your life's a waste. You've wasted your life. You threw it all away. You threw it all away. It's only what you do for Christ that matters. It's only what you do for the sake of the gospel that matters, for the sake of your Creator. That's the only thing that matters. Nothing else matters. To die is gain. To die is gain. And what does a Christian death bring? The song we just sang about toil and care, you know. We shall see the King someday. There's going to be a day when there's not going to be any more toiling or caring. You know, it frees them from earthly labors. It frees you from the trials of this life to a Christian. It frees you from the temptations. Paul worked his entire life. If you look at 2 Corinthians 11, and I won't tell you, I've just got 5 minutes here. Paul, what does it say in 2 Corinthians 11 about how many times Paul was stoned? How many times Paul was shipwrecked? How many times was Paul naked and hungry? How many times was he in peril of this or in peril of that? And here's the point. How many times have you been shipwrecked? Not funny. How many times have you been hungry? How many times have you been in peril of anything? Probably never. Probably never. I don't think so. When Paul died, his death was gain. Look at Philippians again, chapter 1 and verse 23. He said, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." He talks about departing. And what does it mean to depart? You know, the Bible uses the word depart in many ways. And some of them are the idea of a soldier taking down their tents and departing or going down to the next, probably the next camp. Or the idea of a ship being loose from the dock. Or even the idea of a farmer taking the yoke off the oxen because the day of work was over. You know, that's what the word meant. And here's the point. There's going to come a time, you guys, when the day of work is going to be over. There's going to be a day. And there's going to come a day when you're going to take that yoke off your oxen and you're going to depart. And hopefully, your death will be gain. You know, death means laying down the burdens, laying down the cares and concerns of this world. And how many of us right now, you know, in your heart, are just sick and tired or worried to the point of death about something? I bet you there's lots of that in here. We're just worried to death. We're worried that we're going to die, or we're going to worry we're going to get sick, or we're worried we're not going to be able to take care of our kids. I understand that. I've got 5 kids. Almost 6 grandbabies. Almost. I think about it all the time. But to join Jesus, where there is no more death, where there is no more mourning, where there is no more crying, that death is gain. That is gain. That gain. You know, when I remember, okay, so like I come home from work, and I when I feel like it, there's lots of things I have to do at my place. I mean, I could tell you stories, but I won't. But I got this thing I learned from, I don't know who taught me years ago. And it was when I didn't have a phone with me or didn't know what time it was. And I was trying to figure out how much time I had to get my jobs done at the farm. And I learned if you just take your hand and put it right at the, you look at your hand and put your bottom finger on the horizon and then see where the sun is, where your fingers are, you got about 10 minutes per finger before the sun goes down. And you can kind of gap it a little bit. And I could figure up, I have about an hour's worth of sun, or I'd have about 50 minutes worth of sun left. That's how I remember doing that many times. And it makes me think, you know, that window, that 1 hour window, right before it gets dark, right before it gets dark, you know, that's that one little hour before dark where you, I would say to myself, I got to get all this grass cut, or I got to get these animals fed, or I'm going to weed it over here, or I'm going to do something over here. You know, that 1 hour. But here's the point. I stand before you today and I tell you this, that 1 hour, you know what it is? It's your life. You got 1 hour. You got 1 hour to work, to do it. You got 1 hour to get it done, because after that, you know what? It gets dark. It gets dark. Because now is the time to work. Now is the time to do what you have to do. You know what? You're going to have eternity to celebrate your victories. You're going to have eternity to celebrate why you're so happy that you did what you did. But the opposite is true. You're going to have eternity to have the regret and the sorrow and the memories that you knew what you should have done, yet you didn't do it. Can you imagine how bad that's going to be? You have to work till it's dark, dear ones. You've got the 1 hour. Eternity is coming. You've got to work. You've got 1 hour. You've got, you know, there's time to celebrate later on, but if you live your whole life for nothing, if your death is not a gain, you live your whole life in waste, is that at your death, that is not a gain. You know, that your death was tragic. Because a death that's not gain is a death of tragedy, is a life of just ruin, is a life of just futility and vainness and emptiness and meaningless. That's what your life will become. You won't remember anything on this earth. You know what you'll remember? You'll just remember what you didn't do. And it's a long time. Can you imagine finding yourself in torment, knowing that you knew the truth, that you had the opportunity, and you threw it all away because you didn't want to work 1 hour? 1 hour. Because in the big picture, your life's not even an hour. It's a puff of smoke. That's why to die is gain is so important. The great joy of heaven is to be with Jesus Christ. Y'all know Fanny Crosby, the prolific songwriter in the book that we in your books. She was a blind woman. I remember reading a story about her one time. She said that she was born blind and she loved the fact that she was blind, because the one day, the first and only face she would ever see, I think that's what she said, was going to be, who do you think? I can't read your mouth. Jesus. Because the great joy of heaven is to look upon Jesus' face. When you think about that, does that choke you up? It chokes me up. I mean, it chokes me up good. The thought that the day comes when you can look upon Jesus' face and know that you've made it and that your life was a gain and that all this was worth it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? For a Christian to die is gain. Can you say it? Can you say it? Sometimes if you can't say it, you might have to back up a little bit and remember the first part of that saying. And the first part says to live as Christ. Some of us ain't got that down yet. I struggle with it as well. You know, to live as Christ, fellowship with Christ, seeking to serve Christ, doing the things that He would have you to do. If you look at Philippians 3 and verse 7, it says, oh, not that verse. I was thinking of another verse. I wrote down the wrong verse there. I'm sorry. But here's the point. The constant aim of Paul, and that's why the verse talked about that, was the idea of doing everything for Christ. But maybe it is that. But what things were gained to me, these I counted for Christ. Everything it was that Paul talked about was about Christ. You know, and you might ask yourself, what is your constant aim? What do you, when you get up in the morning, what do you aim for? What is your aim? What do you want to do? I know what my problem is. I mean, and I'm not going to tell you. You know what your problem is. You know, is it your family? Is it your friends? Is it your things? Is it your work? Is it the money? Is it your entertainment? Is that your aim when you get up in the morning? You know, where do you want to go when this life is over? That's a good question, too. You know what the people of the world say? They go, well, God knows my heart. I am so sick of that. Yeah, God knows your heart. But does that mean that you're going to heaven because God knows your heart? I got sucked into that before, thinking, well, God knows my heart. God knows I want to do right, but I don't do right all the time. But here's the point. Does it make a difference? Just because God knows your heart, God knows everything about you. But he's not. You still have the choice to make. Not that. You know, do you accidentally go to heaven? No. And people think that. They think that in the world. You'll talk to somebody and they go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven, I think. You know, and what's the saying? You know, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. It's not an accident. If you make it to heaven, it's not an accident. You know, you might stumble into hell, but you're not going to stumble into heaven. Complete this sentence. For me to live is... Here's the point. I'm going to stop talking. I got lots more to say, but I'm just going to stop because it's already late. I say this before I quit. I want you to do this for me, okay? Just for a moment. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes, but it's easy for me to close my eyes to do this. I go, if I were to die today, or let's talk about just if you just think about eternity. Okay, you think if you were to pass away today and your death was not gain, but it was a great tragedy, okay? And you found yourself in torment, and you think to yourself, I'll be here for a time, but then I'll get out of here, and I'll do something. I'll fix this. So for 10,000 years, then this is where you close your eyes, okay? 10,000 years, I'm in torment. And then the 10,000 years is up, and it's another 10,000 years. And when that 10,000 years is up, it's another 10,000 years. And when that 10,000 years is up, it's 100,000 years. And then you think, well, when it's 100,000 years up, then it's 1,000,000 years. And then you think, well, when the 1,000,000 years, then it's 10 million years. And then it's 100 million years. Do you understand the severity? Do you understand the amazing severity that eternity can do, that can give, when you're talking about never coming out of Samaria, never coming away from it? Here's the point. Your death, if it's not a gain, is a great tragedy of eternal consequences, of extreme regret and heartache, and it never stops. It will always be with you. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement right now. I pray that, I know this lesson's a little morbid, not meant to be something, it's meant to be an encouragement to think about the right way to live. And not to be always thinking about death, but think about what you need to be doing while you have the breath in your chest, while you're able to live and to breathe. And to remember, that's your hope that you have. So if you're subject to the invitation, if you're not a Christian, realize that you can become a Christian today. Realize it doesn't take a whole lot. All you got to do is be willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you're willing to repent of your sins and make that confession and be willing to be buried in baptism. And then from there, go on to live the life that God would have you live the best of your ability with God's help and with the prayers of everyone and the encouragement here. And I like to say this every time I stand before y'all, how much I love everyone here. I really do. Really do. And I know that if you're not a Christian today and you were to come forward and become a Christian, there will be a great big long line, even though we're in a pandemic probably, there'd be a great long line of people that would come and hug your neck and cry their eyes out and be happy for you. And I would be one of them. If you're not a Christian today, be a Christian. If you're somebody living a lie and you're a hypocrite and you think you're tricking everybody, you might be. You're not tricking the most important person. And it's all going to be found out. And you know what? Your death will be tragic. It won't be one of gain. It'll be a great tragedy. Whatever your need may be, come forward as we stand to lead the song of encouragement.